It's a real privilege to be speaking this morning. Now, what I thought I'd do is just invite testimony, for starters. I thought if there's anybody here that would like to give testimony very briefly to, I guess, last weekend. I'm particularly thinking of Gary and Joy's visit. I know people were hugely blessed, and I think it'd be a blessing to hear from other others. Chris has already kind of nudged me in this direction, and I had it down here. I thought he was going to steal my thunder, actually. But look, if somebody would like to come up, I know there are people that were blessed, and I'm going to just wait for you. Just a couple of minutes here. Come on up. Yep, I see that hand. Come on up. Great, Rob. Okay.
Well, I wasn't even here, but I was at New Wine. And I got hugely blessed. God healed my ankle. I had a sore ankle that started hurting. There were 64 full healings and about probably a few more partial healings during the New Wine weekend. It was an amazing move of time.
Well, there you go. So if anybody's got a sore ankle this morning, get Rob to pray for you, okay? Anybody got a sore ankle this morning? Any sore ankles? It can be over there? There we go. Go for it. Let's give him a hand for that. That's amazing, Rob. Brilliant. Stu. How do you do, Stu?
I think it was a Thursday night on the Thursday night workshop, and I think Tom, you and Graham prayed for us. We prayed at the end, and I had a word basically about management, and it's really bizarre because on the Friday morning, the regional manager of the actual whole of the Wellington area basically said, "Oh, I might have got an opportunity for you." So I was like, "Whoa, this is definitely kind of related to the prayer," because they said that Tom definitely had a pitch on the word management was there. And I was like, wow, for that to happen on the Friday morning, that was, to me, that wasn't a coincidence. That was God.
So what's the next step? That's clapping. That's awesome. Yeah. What's the next step?
I think he's kind of just looking at a position for me. So I'll be going from the call centre, probably looking at management role. So.
Wow, so you're stepping towards it. That's fantastic. Anybody else? Thanks, Stu. I know there's some others. Yeah, high fives. Are you shy? Come on, guys. Johnny. Welcome.
For me, it was just like a really awesome reminder that sometimes I don't really value like the vineyard per se. And it was just a really awesome reminder of like the sort of spirit of this movement and the peace that it brings and just the grace and just the gentleness. Yeah, it's awesome.
Thank you. Yeah, give him a hand. That's awesome. Yeah, Gary and Joy Best, we've known for something like 20 years. They do carry something. And they headed the movement over in Canada for about 17 years. They wrote that book, Naturally Supernatural. So they've kind of seen it all, you know. And just to have the opportunity to sit, listen to them, and as Johnny said, to be reminded about the values that we have was very special, actually. Anybody else? Okay. Well, I think for me, one of the neat things is that we had plenty of opportunities to go into small groups of three, groups of four, and just to look at each other and basically in those groups and just to say what we saw in that person. Anything, just words of encouragement. And also to relax in that, knowing that possibly those words could be supernatural words. In many cases, they were. In many cases, they led to prophetic words. So it's to strip away all the mystique that's around the prophetic. Even though I love moving in that, I think often we will elevate people into these positions. And yet, what they're really saying is that we can all do it, right? That's the whole deal. And one of the things that I found amazing is that I don't know how many different groups I ended up in, probably because I had to follow them around, but over the week that they were here, but about three or so groups. But the amazing thing to me is that the very things that I had been praying for, even going back almost 12 months, the very things that have been near and dear to my heart, things that only the Lord kind of knew about, really these different ones, younger and older in these groups, seem to confirm the same thing. It was the same word time and time again. And really, it was, well, it was amazing. It's just like, Yes, Lord, you are speaking to me. Yes, Lord, you have got things under control. Yes, Lord, you are directing my steps. And, you know, that is, I think it's a wonderful thing. Look, as we were worshiping this morning, I just felt there were a couple of people here that I just wanted to just say something, just speak into their lives this morning. And Sam, I sensed this when we were at the back praying, that I felt for you this year, it's like you're stepping in. It's a word for the whole church, which I'll share in a few minutes, but I felt for you it's like you're stepping into some new design concepts this year. I don't know exactly what this means, but it's also, I've got the word new. I don't know if that means a new job, but certainly new concepts and seeing things differently. I think the other thing too is that, again, I don't know how this fits, but your company is going to have new contracts. It's like going to be refreshed contracts. Not the same sort of contracts that you've been working with for years, but they're new contracts. So I've been interested to know how that is. That's kind of cool. Yeah, I don't know how that fits, but for you, definitely on a personal level, new concepts. I think even that in your walk with Jesus, I think there's going to be a new season for you. It's going to be quite exciting for you. So, looking through here, Jolly, where's Jolly? Is Jolly still here? Or is she at the back? Oh, you can pass this on to her. I really feel for Jolly that the Lord's going to unlock some stuff in the whole prophetic realm, the prophetic realm of worship. Okay, so, I mean, she was in purple this morning. That's what I saw. Maybe it was pink. But anyway, that often speaks of the prophetic, but it wasn't that so much, but I really felt this morning that for her, in the whole song and music area that I know she's passionate about, she's going to be moving into something rather exciting. So I hope she's prepared to kind of step out and be bold in that realm. And Marilyn, where's Marilyn's gone out with little girl? Has she with Mackenzie? She probably has. I'll see her later on. Yes, she has. Okay. For CV people, this is what, there's a whole lot of stuff, but for CV people, I just feel the Lord, the season that we're in now, dear ones, can I call that being an old guy? He's unlocking promises. What I see is this big box with the lid's been opened up, and I see all these things jumping out of this box. If you're part of this community, well, even if you're just visiting today, grab hold of that, because I really feel I'm not going to call it a new season, although it's possibly what it is, but I feel the Lord's just saying, he's unlocking the promises. He's unlocking the promises in your heart. But there's going to require an action on your part, and I'll probably lead into this last year in a few minutes. I'm sharing now, though. But basically, it's a call from God to step out, to actually take a fresh step, to almost step out of that box. Take a fresh step. And the song that we just sang, Jesus, You're the Center, I felt the words of that song kind of really fitted with what I think the Lord's, which are what I believe is on the Lord's heart today. By the way, Abigail gave me this beautiful picture this morning. Okay. Now that's really cool. That's me with all the, hang on, maybe that's you. You got all the hair, I've just got spikes. And I said, well, what's that? At least I got some spikes there. But in the middle, I said, what's that? She said, that's an octopus. So I'll take that. I think that's pretty cool. I don't know what that actually means, but that really blessed me this morning. She came up and gave me that. And I'll give that to you, Chrissy. Here we go. Yeah, there we go. Isn't God good? Little treasures from children. I love it. You know, the last few weeks, since I knew I was going to be talking today, it's like all the thoughts and things in my daily readings, everything have kind of come together, and I'm going to try and release some of that this morning. And it's like even Gary, what Gary was sharing, Gary and Joy were sharing last week, it's like what's on my heart is pretty much the same sort of thing. It's really centering on Jesus, and it's like I'm being reminded of the same thing through different passages of Scripture. And I'm going to cover four things very, very briefly. I will be. Focus, time, giving, and loving. Focus, time, giving, and loving. I've got lots of verses, so you might wonder, and I'm not going to be able to look them all up because of time, but you might want to have your notebook out of your iPad or something. But there's a little exercise that we're going to do at the end, okay? Got something up my sleeve somewhere. And it's not scary, it'll be fun. So we're all going to participate. Can I just share, in the last few days, my eyes have been drawn to a prophecy which we felt the Lord give us last year. And I was just sitting there and I thought, I really think that I should share it. or share parts of it. And it's really, I was going to put it aside, but hearing what Chris has said this morning about the nation, I think maybe I should read this out. And this is what I felt the Lord saying. The wind of my spirit is edging around this nation, and I am about to instruct release over the land. It will come with a cost, but my son has already paid the price. My desire is to see a people set apart, a people who would dare to allow me to cleanse their hearts, their lives for me, for the extension of my kingdom here in this land, the uttermost parts of the earth. And for this to flow from the land, from the peoples and the people and the islands of the Pacific region, yes, to the shores of Australia, Asia, and America. So he's interested in this whole area. This is my work, not men's. I do not need men's tools, inventions, or systems of communication. I will do this my way, like I've done before, and my spirit, who is powerful and carries my force, will cause this to happen. I do not need an army. I need a few willing people submitted to me and my ways. I've heard your cries and the cries of my people down through the ages, and I will unleash my power, the power of my love over you. I will draw all men to me. This is my work, and you are my people. And yes, I am a jealous God who loves and adores you like a mother and a father adoring a new baby. It's your hearts that I'm after, for you to sit and be still and to know me as I pour out my love upon you. I don't need performance. I just need submission and trust. Please open the eyes of your hearts and let me saturate you with myself. All I have is yours. If only you could see my storehouse, which is overflowing with treasures and delights for you. Then the Lord gave me some very clear instruction, which I don't feel to cover this morning, for the church. His storehouse is full. His transformation program centers around love. Not the world, the way the world sees it. So no wonder there's a lot of the opposite stuff happening, because it's love that will break through. Andrew, I really felt this morning during the worship that even with your company is a mark in the city, but even what the Father has given you is bigger than what you can actually see through your eyes right now. So I bless you, and I release that the promises that God's had over you for that to take place, and the power and the impact of that on what seems to be a small community. But I see that as a very, very enlarged, growing community. And the more that you give to him in time and energy, and I know you do this anyway, so I'm speaking your language and your resources, the more he's going to multiply that, because you are strong and you can carry that. And keep close to him. Keep close to him. Keep close to the promises. In essence, what that prophecy means is that our loving Father wants us to dial down, and he wants us to receive his love. And it's really hugely simple. Focus. Here's the first point. During these times, we need to focus on him. We need to focus on the one. We need to fall in love with the one. With him. Not to fall in love with Vineyard, not to fall in love with any church or mission or organization, with our works, even falling in love with our wives again and again, not even that. But even though that's important, but it's falling in love with him. Falling in love with the one. If every believer in this nation could fall in love with the one and almost go back to their first beginnings, the transformed impact of that in our lives would impact the others around us. So it requires, right in the season we're in right now, to give him our full attention. This should become our new normal. This should become our new normal. We should walk in it, sleep in it, bathe in it. Because I think the things that he's got planned for us are going to require us to be totally anchored in him. As Gary said last week, immerse yourself in him. I love that. Immerse yourself in Jesus. Now, these are things that are on my heart. If I could leave you with something, these are things I'd love to leave with you today. In Philippians 3:7, it says, don't be distracted. Don't be distracted. There's so many distractions down there. I mean, we get bombarded with this stuff day in and day out. If it's a Jesus distraction, go for it. But if it's not, stop. Philippians 3:13 says, and I love this. This is on my heart. This one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind. When you've been through stuff, it isn't a difficult thing to forget those things which are behind. I press towards the mark, Jesus, for the prize of the high calling of God, Christ Jesus. This one thing I do, forgetting those things that are behind, I press towards the mark for this prize of the high calling, Jesus Christ. In Colossians 3:2, it says, set your mind on things above. Now, it doesn't matter what you're doing. It doesn't matter whether you're functioning as an engineer or a businessman. It doesn't matter. But begin the day by setting your things. Realign your mind. Realign your thoughts on the things that are above. We've got to train ourselves to do that. And Gary talked about that last week. You know, I love cars. A lot of you know that. And, you know, one of these days I might get a 2000 Chevy Corvette, but we'll see. And because I like the car, it's a grunty car, 5 litre. But, you know, it's the sort of car that I should be driving, right? And I'll get a gold medallion and, you know, I'll cruise around the city. I'm not ashamed. Chrissy will be. But, you know, one of these days I will get a car like that, you know, because I love it. But, you know, the thing is that I think years ago when I was driving, I had a Mini Cooper and we'd worked this car and it was good for 106 miles per hour. I used to drive pretty fast and it was about 3.5 inches off the ground, big wides on it before the boy racer. So I was probably a junior boy racer. And the cops tried to run me out of town once. They truly did. They said, if you ever come back through the city in this car again, we'll, you know, throw the book at you. So after that, my father drove the car and I biked. Anyway, but I can remember on one particular occasion, I was driving back from visiting Chrissy in Whanganui, I think it was. And I came around the corner. You see, I wasn't concentrating properly. And I came around this corner and there was a car. There were two lights, which I thought, okay, headlights. And I thought, okay, that's obviously, this car's on the right-hand side of the road. I need to come around it. But as I got close to this car and I did slow down, I realized that this car was stopped right on an intersection. And I was going to do a left turn around this gravel road, but there wasn't enough room. And I sort of lost control of the car a little bit. See, I wasn't really fully focused on what I was doing. I was probably thinking about other things. And I wasn't focused and I spun out. I literally went up, I think I did about 360 in the middle of the road, spun off the road and got hooked up in some fence wires. Fortunately, it was a slow motion thing. But the point I'm making here is that if we don't focus on him, if we don't keep our focus right, we're going to spin out. There's no doubt about it. There will spin out. I know that in my own life. For my first visit to Wellington years ago was actually coxing for the Poverty Bay rowing club, and that was a lot of training, getting up at 5 o'clock in the morning for weeks. But so my first visit to Wellington was actually to row on cox the fours and whatever they are on the harbour. And the thing about this is, as the cox, you've got to line that ship up. If you don't line that ship up, you can go totally off course. So I remember at the Korokoro course coming up from Petone, and all the boats are lined up. We did very well. All I'm saying is that we kept our course. If you don't keep your course in those long boats, you can totally drift. And you can drift, but that can take time and you can lose the race. So just a couple of examples. We need to keep our focus on him. We've got to, otherwise we'll drift. So the second thing is make time for him. You know, it's really difficult when you've got family, when you've got work, when you've got demands on you, to actually find space and place to have time with him. And we're all wired differently, I know. Some of us will be able to do that in our car, on our bike. But one of the things that I've learned as I've got older, even when we've gone through stressful times of demanding jobs and family and everything else that's happening, and I was more aware of this again just recently when we had our Moody family staying with us. It was fantastic having them there. But, you know, we had a whole house full of kids and everything. And it was just hard to find that little bit of time to set aside. But somehow we have to do that. I'm finding that we need to have time. We need to make time. So find something that works for you, a place, a space. Because what I've found is that it's in those times we can get to know him. And I want to know him, but also I want him to know me. I mean, I don't want him not to know me. I mean, I'm passionate about being known by him. And the other thing I really want is I want to be his friend. Oh, to be a friend of God. I want to be his friend. I want him to know me. Martin, I'm your friend. I want you to walk with me. I want you to take me by the hand. And I want his favor. I want his favor. When I look back on my life and some of the jobs that I've had and some of the things and the opportunities that I've had, I wish I knew that what was happening during those occasions when the Lord propelled me into positions way beyond my academic level, tremendous responsibility, in some cases millions of dollars to spend on things in the government, because we had millions of dollars to spend in those days. But the thing is this, that it's like there was favor on my life and I didn't understand there was favor. And I think we can, as we get closer, and that's okay to have favor. We've all got favor. So we get close to him, he will give us his favor. And I could speak a whole session on that, but I haven't got time today. But to be known as his friend, to be hungry for him, to be passionate about him. Paul said, I'm going to put everything aside just to know him. I'm going to put everything else aside just for this one thing, to know him. And that's what I'm asking. I think that's what the Lord's saying to us prophetically. I think that's what's coming through to the church today, to know him. But we need to make time. Just a few notes down here. Some testing going on there. But just a few things here. You get out of a relationship what you put into it. So if you don't put anything to the relationship, you're not going to get anything out of it. So we're not designed to be loners. We're designed to be in community. That's the way we are. You spend time with the one or the people that you love. Actually, you can only be known by somebody, I said this before, if you're prepared to spend time for them. Actually, it's interesting because you can tell people who have been with Jesus. Your workmates can tell that you've been with Jesus. They can tell that you have him living in your life. Even when you feel grumpy, you've got something in you that they want. Actually, I just got a little note down here. I think the converse is true. You can tell people who are focused or wrapped up in themselves, and as they get older, they can be grumpy old men. I don't want to be like that. I really don't. You know, I've had the privilege to spend a bit of time with my little grandson, Ben, the last few weeks. And I've been able to climb the big hill at the back here, Waystown Hill. I do that every day, but take him right to the top. He's got these little legs, but he was energized. He would jump ahead of me. But it's cool, as we're walking down some of the steep paths. He was fine on his own. I gave him a stick. He's walking down these steep, these gravelly paths. Every now and again, he'd grab me by the hand because it's a little slippery. And I just hold on to him. Then he'd shoot off again and dive off down the track. On one occasion, he actually disappeared. And I thought, oh, I better go back and look for him. Sorry, David. But there was a fork in the track. And as I actually came down, he suddenly appeared. He'd walked under this old track. There's a log over it, and he'd walked under it. I said, you came the wrong way. He said, I couldn't find you, Grandpa. But and also, you know, it gave me such a picture of Jesus. And that's what he wants, our Heavenly Father. He just wants to grab us by the hand especially when there's difficult times, you know. But he wants to do that all the time. If you go fishing or biking or whatever you do, just say, you know, Lord, I want you to come with me. Come on my mountain bike as I come down the hill and protect me. But that's the sort of picture. But when you go through difficult times, he just wants us to grab us by the hand. Lord, would you please? And it doesn't have to be a long-winded prayer. Just, hey, would you come with me? Please, I need you. I need you to help me with this situation I'm facing at work. I've got 20 staff. There's no money coming in this week. Hey, would you please help me through this situation? And he's always near, and he's always there. The third thing is give to him. Very interesting that one of John Wimber's biggest selling DVD series, and I'm not going to talk about it this morning, was on giving. The biggest people, he said, you know, I've talked about all sorts of things, but the biggest series, biggest seller was on giving. And he used to say you should always talk about giving in the church. This is not what's on my heart, by the way. But you should always talk about giving in the church because you're denying people the blessing that comes out of giving. But as followers of Jesus, everything we have is his. Isn't that everything we have is his? So I guess what for us is really to sit back and say, well, how much do I keep for myself? But the thing is here, you give your time and resources to the things that you love or compassionate about. As Wimber used to say too, I have to think about this a lot, the most difficult thing in conversion is converting the wallet in the back pocket. Anyway, but our first fruit, we should give of our first fruits, you know. I remember years ago, and I've said this story many, many times, we had a lot of students in this church, and you know, you'd occasionally get $2, $5, but these guys weren't earning, but they would just give whatever they had. And we got to an occasion where we were just taking over this facility. It didn't look like this at all. And the church that had been meeting here previously had said, look, we'll leave our chairs and tables for you because we're moving out and you can have all the chairs. So we didn't go and buy any chairs. We thought we're going to inherit their chairs. We came during the week to set things up for Sunday, and there were no chairs or tables. They'd taken a lot. Now, bless them. They probably needed them. But bless them anyway. And we said, well, what are we going to do? We didn't have very much money in the bank. But you know, within a very short time, the chairs that you were sitting on, we were able to, those pink chairs, for instance, and those blue chairs, I think they were put in a truck and pretty much given to us from an AMP property group in Palmerston North. And I think I just bought them some beers. And they said, you can have them. So, and some of these chairs represent some of the big corporations in the city, Fonterra, Westpac. What I'm saying is that the resources that are in this place came initially from a bunch of students that really didn't have much to give. And so that's what we inherit. I think it's fantastic. All of us, and I know have got different ways of giving. But he does tell us to test them out. I have to say that my experience has been interesting because I can remember on one occasion, quite a number of years, I think that we had two mortgages, two kids, and a little old Morris 1300. But we felt to give to God. And the interesting thing is that the car didn't break down, but we had enough money to pay for it. People were helped us out. But God never, ever let us down. Never. He was always there, always ready and willing to help us. And here's another thing, too, about giving of your time. What I've found is that even guys and girls, even if you've only got a short amount of time to spend with him, I invite the Holy Spirit to come and extend the time. This happened just a couple of days. In fact, it happened yesterday. I didn't have long. There was a moment when I just wanted to connect with the Father. I said, Lord, can you somehow extend the time? And I did. It's like I came into his presence and it felt like I'd been there for an hour. You know? So he can do that. He can actually extend time. I've gone from place to place and I've needed to be somewhere in a hurry, and I thought there's no way I've got 5 minutes, no way that I'm going to get there, and yet I've arrived there on time. I don't know how he does that, but let's face it, he's the God of physics and he's the creator God, so he can make things stand still. Where's Rob Holt? Rob, I really felt too for you, for area of physics. New things this year in the whole area of physics and the field that you're actually involved in. I thought I should just tell you that. I think there's more, but it's not the same old, same old. we were walking. I remember one occasion we were. I told Gary about this. You know the law school down the big new law school, the wooden building. Well, we'd arranged to have a break up the coast with and Chrissy's auntie's batch. We needed it. Two kids at that stage, or three kids. No, two children. And I didn't have time to go and get money out of the bank to leave the caregiver on that occasion, which may have been her sister or mother. And so I'm walking home. Banks were closed. And I'm walking through the law school just off of the cenotaph there. And there was a big bush just by the gate. And in the bush, I think there were two $20 notes. Truly. So money does grow on trees. Yeah? Amen? So I took those two notes and gave them to our caregiver. $20 or $40 went a long way in those days. But I'm saying money does grow on trees. I thought I'd just tell you about it. Anyway, the third thing is to love like him. So the first thing we said is focus on him. Make time for him. Give to him time, resources, whatever. And love like him. So how's your loving on God going? You know, I've often said the best thing is just check his barometer. The love barometer, which is Corinthians 1:13. What's it say there? Love is joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, meekness. That's what I use. If I want to do a check on myself, I'll just go back. To say, you know what? I haven't been too loving this week. I'm not really experiencing his joy. I'm not feeling peaceful. So I call that the love barometer. And I think the thing is here that we can start to practice at home, you know, with our wife, with our friends, at home, with children, with our parents. And we can allow that to happen in the workplace just by being nice to people. And this here is a safe place to try it as well, to begin to love like Jesus. Because we really are, James, you prayed this earlier on, but we really are a people of his presence. That's what we want to be known as. We want this place to be known as a house of his presence. I want people to know me as a man of his presence. You know, it's interesting because Moses had an opportunity earlier on. The Lord said to Moses, he said, I'll give you an angel, and this angel can hang out with you. He'll be there every moment. He can walk with you. You can talk to him. He'll show you things, da-da-da-da. You know, the Lord Moses then said to the Lord, well, you know, I don't really want that. What I really want is you. He said, I really want you. It's good to have all the stuff, but I want you. I'm hungry for you because if your presence doesn't go with us, then we're not going to function. We're not. And the Lord said, my presence will go with you and I will what? Give you rest. And I'm doing a bit of study on Moses right now. And pretty amazing guy. He didn't start his ministry until he was 80, so I'm hanging my hand on that. That's a good thing. I'm not there yet. So we want to be known as a people of his presence. And you know what? We've been designed to be constantly in his presence. This is what the whole deal in the garden was all about. Gary talked about last week about shalom. This was the whole deal of shalom. In the garden, there was shalom. In the garden, there was total, absolute unity before the fall. And that's how he's designed us. And we can walk on those promises now. That's what he's saying. You don't wait to, you know, we step into that state. We step into the promise, the promises, his promises now. We've already entered, we can already enter his promised land now. We have a kingdom DNA. Not a vineyard DNA. It's a kingdom DNA. And that DNA is walking in constant contact in the presence with the Father. I like what Gary said last week. God's plan is a plan of peace, of perfect shalom, a place of unity, bound together, as it talks about in Ephesians, as bound together, learning to love together. That's why you need to be in a Christian community. In Colossians 3:12 it says, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience. And there's a little word there which I think, you know what it says? Bear one another. We're all different. Sometimes we've got to work through that. You don't want to be like me. I don't want to be like you. We've all got little things that we rub up against each other, but that's how he refines us. Every day, Gary was saying last week, looking at people the way Jesus does. Looking through what I call love lenses or kingdom lenses. This will change the way that we function. It's hard. It's hard to do it. But if we keep doing it, we'll eventually change the way that we operate. We'll eventually change the way that we think. So we're learning to look through the lenses of God. It's pretty simple, really. I think what we're really trying to say is love Him and love others and see things change around you. We are the good news, people, even though sometimes you don't feel like we are. We are the good news. We are Christ's ambassadors. We represent Him. We have the gift and anointing of reconciliation on our lives, and that's what the world needs. So I'm just going to wrap up with a few verses. These are some promises. I thought you guys would like these, start of the year. Psalm 73, verses 23 to 26. And what I'm taking out of that is this. He holds us with His right hand. Just like Ben was holding my hand. He holds us with His right hand. He never lets go. Psalm 33, 21 said, He strengthens our hearts, and our hearts shall rejoice in Him because we have trusted in His holy name. Deuteronomy 31, 8 says, The Lord is with you. He goes before you. He will not fail you. Exodus 33, 14, 15. His presence goes with you, and I've mentioned before, and He will give you rest. He is my counsel, and He is my guide. He positions, I love this, old King James, He positions each step that I take, and I've been aware of that recently when walking down the hill in some pretty dodgy paths like that. And I'm thinking, man, you've got to watch where my foot's going because I don't want to slip here. But He positions every step that we take. Isn't that a beautiful thing? And He gives us the rest. He places my feet exactly in the right place so I don't slip. Zephaniah, I love this one. I've forgotten where it comes from. Zephaniah, He delights, He actually spins over you. Even though you're not feeling blah-de-blah, He's there spinning over you. He will never, ever leave you or forsake you. That's the deal. Now, we're going to do a little exercise now. Really simple. I'm going to get Zoe, if she come up, and she's going to give you out a piece of paper and a pen. And what I'm going to ask you to do is something really, really simple. And it'd be cool if everybody does this, you know. And I'm going to ask you to write a little note to your Heavenly Father. And what I want you to write on this is something, and I want you to carry around. I've got mine. I got one here that I've been carrying around for 12 months. I want you to write on there something that's on your heart for this year. There's two parts. This is the first part. This is for you. Something that you don't have to show anybody. I don't want to see it. You can lay it before Him. But something that you would desire this year. Something that's really personal. Something special. Something special for you. It might be two parts. I don't care. It can be many parts as you like. It's kind of not asking Him, but it's letting him know. You know? It's kind of letting Him know that you have a need. And if you want to express something to Him, that your love for Him, put it on the same piece of paper. If it's that you want to get to know Him more, then put that down. But something that's on your heart. Then the second part of it, and I'm referring to something that Gary said last week, and he just challenged us as a church and said, let this be a year of blessings, blessing others. Let this be a year. Let's open that box up and say, yeah, some cool things coming out of that box for us. But let that be a box of blessing to others. So is there some way or some person or some situation that this year or in the next week, let's dial that second part down for the next week, some way that you can bless somebody else? Could be to make them a cake. It could be just to go up and say, you look great. I don't know what it is. But something that you can do to bless. And husbands, don't rely on wives, you know. Hey, you bake the cake. I'm not going to ask. I'm not going to bake it. Yeah, amen? Yeah. So what I love chocolate cake, by the way. Anyway, I'm just dropping that in. But is there some... So there's two parts. The second part is, how can you bless somebody else? And over the next week. Could be to help Tessa. And here's something else, you know. Maybe if you haven't got a journal, this could be the start of your journal. I'll just read out what I wrote down last year. And I've been going back to this all the time, and the Lord's been working on my heart. It said, my meditation of him shall be sweet. I will rejoice in him. Precious friend, you are my desire. I do so want to see more of your power and love in and through me and in this place. Then I just went on to talk about some personal things. That's my desire, is to see him function the way that he wants through this place. So, Father, I just pray that you'd, Father, as we write these words down, Lord, that and we present them to you this morning, I just pray, Father, that you'd touch our hearts. That, Father, you would help us to become increasingly more focused on you. Not on stuff, but on you. To Father, you would help us to give to you in whatever shape or form that means. That Father, we would make time for you, and that you'd help us to love like you love. I pray that as a community, as a group of believers in Capital Vineyard or whatever churches we're part of, I pray, Lord, that we won't be passengers. I pray, Father, that we would come in to community, that we'd be known as a community of people who love Jesus, who love each other, and who enjoy your presence. I pray too, Father, that we would be a people of power, because love is often shown, Father, through power as well. In fact, I feel they go together. I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.